Hey, everybody talks about doing good. Is it good for your family? Is it good for your friends? Is it good for your community? But what does it mean to define good? And can we do it together? That's what the challenge is today here with the man who seems to want to talk about this all the time, William D. D for doing good. What's
yes,
up, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
This is the most fascinating and hard to predict program that we have on the station here. I never know where it's going, how we're going to get there, and yet nobody can seem to turn it off, me included. So
I love it. I love it. I want to be the one that's the most confusing, because then we get to what we need to get to.
Yeah. So who'd you bring in today to join this confusing journey? Here?
So I brought two great people in. Okay. This is beautiful. Because I went to church last week, and to a church I used to attend, my wife and I, we went there 20 years. And I went there last week to see two pastors that are still there after all these years. They started this church, and they're in their 80s. And God kept laying on my heart pillar for those two people. And I think about that for you two. Pillar. And I in Orange County.
She's not sure how to take that one. She looked around like a
pillar. I was thinking pillar of salt.
I'm not going there. But a pillar, like solid. You two are the people. You know, I see you everywhere, first of all. There's so many people that have so much respect for you both.
Oh.
I hear it all the time.
Well, then let's introduce them. Maybe everybody knows them already here.
So, yeah, let's talk about you guys. Talk about your marriage. Talk about your family. Talk about your day-to-day work. And then we'll get into the good stuff.
Tell us your name. He forgot to tell everybody your name.
I said it, didn't I?
No.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. I'll let them tell you who they are.
Ladies first.
Hi, I'm Sandra Crouch. And this is my fabulous husband.
Ooh, I love that. Love that.
Gary Crouch.
Gary Crouch, okay. And you guys are CPAs? Is that what?
We are both background? CPAs, but I don't practice in public accounting.
Okay.
Any longer.
I thought you were going to say you don't practice in public. No. You do accounting in private. But you have a big job here. You're at the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce.
I'm very blessed to be at the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce. Team.
As what? As the VP there?
I am a vice president, but I handle strategic partnerships and finance.
Okay.
And Gary was working or is now transitioning out of or retiring from?
I'm still working. I'm an assurance principal at the CPA firm, CLA, Clifton Larson Allen. I've been there for about 7 years, and at December 31st, I will be not retiring, but repurposing.
There you go.
Ooh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Redefining.
Yeah.
What? You're going to come over and be an adjunct professor or teach over at the school where William teaches?
Who knows?
Anything's possible. Okay.
The question I have for you guys is, first of all, how long have you been married? And what do you think that is a secret to a long marriage?
If he says too long.
Ooh, this would be a too short show.
Is it?
We've been together 45 years. We've been married 40.
Wow.
We got married when I was 3.
There you go.
That's my story.
Stick it to it.
We met at a CPA firm in New Orleans. We're both from New Orleans. She was working there in, I think, accounting.
Oh, gosh, no. I was the errand girl and file clerk at the time.
And then moved up to the data processing.
Nice. This was all while I was in college.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So she would push the coffee cart around at 10 and 2 and hand me a cup of coffee, and that's where we met.
Love that.
I'm still serving him.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, what an answer. I don't believe that at all.
That's good. I love that. What about kids?
We have one son and a beautiful daughter-in-law and a delightful little 14-month-old granddaughter.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. What does your son do for a living?
He's not allowed to tell us.
Top secret.
He has a PhD in chemical engineering and nanotechnology and does research at HRL Labs in Malibu.
Oh, my
He has a defense clearance, so he cannot tell us.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Kind of like the building. We're at UCI's Applied Innovation
Center.
A lot of high-tech stuff here, lockdown, secret stuff here.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
More importantly, he is a USC grad. And he drank the Kool-Aid while he was at USC, so he's a diehard Trojan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
The irony is his PhD is from Notre Dame.
Wow.
So he went from one to the other. He walked into Notre Dame wearing his Trojan for Life t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
And I could tell you, as because I was accepted at the University of Notre Dame, I ended up going to Michigan instead. But I'm an Irish Catholic. I always thought I was going to Notre Dame until I went to Notre Dame. And I went, I don't know if I want to go here because they're still having panty raids and stuff. This is the 70s. It was a little archaic.
Oh, my gosh.
But lifelong Notre Dame fan, and they don't like the Trojans.
No, not at all. No.
Wow. Wow, so diehard Trojan.
He's a diehard Trojan.
Yeah. You guys must be really proud, though. He has a PhD and doing well. Got a beautiful granddaughter.
Did you know he was going to do this kind of stuff when he was little? I was wondering when somebody is really successful, do they look at the little kid and say, oh, man, this kid's going to do that, or is it a surprise?
So when he was six, we figured out he was going to be an engineer. We didn't know what kind. By the time he went through, he wanted to do EE, electrical engineering, and then mechanical engineering, and he would talk about these things. And when he was 10 years old, he was house-sitting for our neighbor. He was feeding the cats and bringing in the mail. And he'd bring in the mail, and every month or every week, I don't remember how long, they'd have MIT Technology Review magazine that would come. And when the couple got home, he asked the gentleman, do you throw these away when you're done?
Wow.
And then our neighbor said, yes, I do. And Garrison said, well, if you don't mind, I'd like them. Wow. So they bought
him. How old is he? 10?
He's 10.
He wants to read
MIT Technology Review. They bought him a subscription.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I was having trouble getting him to go to sleep at night. I said,
so
why?
I'd read him stories of.
He'd look at me and he'd say, I have all these ideas, and if I go to sleep, I'm going to forget them.
Oh, my gosh.
So I gave him index cards and I said, draw a picture on the front, write a description on the back. You can put it in this little box. You have it. You can sleep.
Wow.
So he would do that. And one day, I remember the first time this happened a couple times, he comes up to me with the magazine and his card. And he said, they did it. I have to get to college before they invent everything.
Oh, my God. So he would come up with an idea, and then he'd see it in the publication?
He would see it in the publication.
That's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
And this is 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's
like raising Mozart or something here. Yeah.
He was a delight.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Really amazing. That's a blessing.
It really is.
It really is.
And I'm a firm believer that every child is a genius in their lane.
Yes.
The trick is to find their lane.
Or not force them into your lane.
Exactly.
Yeah. You two are accountants.
Raise up a child in the way that he should go.
Yes. Yeah, you would think Junior has to be an accountant because you're all an accountant.
No, he ruled that out. He looked at us and said, I'm not going to be a CPA. Yeah. So that was out.
Not going to happen.
I did that with my daughters, too, where I was like, you should be an attorney. You like to argue. And she, with the English, got a degree in English. And I'm like, what are you going to do with that? And she's, I got this, Dad. And now she's got all these insurance licenses, and she's doing insurance.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like, I don't, but.
Don't see the connection.
I'm still trying to get her to go to law school, but she won't do it.
So I know this has nothing to do with defining good, but maybe it's turning them into good people. We all want to turn them into who we want them to be.
Yeah.
That was my struggle always. Yeah. You got to do this. You got to be like me. You got to like what I like. Yeah. And then you have to let go of it at some point and say, that's not them.
You know, the most interesting aspect of that, because, of course, you know, we are followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we were raising him with that belief system. And one of the most interesting days is when he walked into my living room with his Bible in his hand, and he looked at me and said, I don't know if I believe this.
Yeah. Oh.
And I looked at him and said, that is so great.
Yeah.
God is not afraid of your questions.
Yeah.
If you never question this, it will never be your faith.
No.
And I don't know all the answers. I will work with you and try to find answers to your questions, but I can't make any guarantees.
Right.
And he and his wife, and God willing, their baby girl, still believers and go to church.
Yeah.
Do you know how
live.
Rare that is?
Yeah.
In today's world? We've done shows on this in the past. We're mostly a business channel, but occasionally we veer into these subjects. I'm a good Irish Catholic, cradle-to-grave Catholic. And two things. One, I think the nuns beat out a lot of my friends and kids who are no longer followers, and that's sad. And two, you look at the Pew poll, the most recent one, since they started taking this in the 20s or 30s or whatever, it's always been overwhelmingly we'll call it a Christian nation, but they believed in something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now the nuns, none of the above, is the number one group that people subscribe to.
But the last few polls are showing that they're beginning to decline, or at least the rate of growth is slowing substantially.
Yeah.
Because there is hope. We're seeing young men return to church more so than young women.
Absolutely.
And that's the first time in human history, I believe.
Yeah, it's really sad because when I was pastoring at Calvary, I used to read all those these statistics too about how many kids. We had 1,500 kids in a school at the time. And we would do these Bible studies every week with them in chapel. And I was thinking to myself as I would look out there, I'm like, 80% of these kids are going to walk away from God at some point.
Absolutely.
And they got these professors at these secular schools that are going to tell them that there's no God. Mm-hmm. It's all ridiculous.
And I'm going to push it a little harder. Maybe you guys, we don't have to go down this aisle if you don't want to. I think it's not just what they're hearing from without. Somehow we churches aren't serving them or reaching them, because my daughter's a case in point. I don't know that she doesn't believe in anything. She just doesn't believe in church. And she sees church as either a political thing or something. It's not relevant to her. It doesn't talk to her. It doesn't speak to her. It doesn't serve her.
Yeah.
And church is the manifestation of what, or somehow we play out our faith through these institutions.
Yeah.
Most of us have. And I think the institutions are failing us. Failing
I have through. Two answers to that one. How's
okay.
this? I think that you're absolutely right. I think that for a while, the American church especially was lulled into a sense of complacency, and it became church light. And I think this generation has completely rejected the idea of church light. And there are two ways to combat that. One is to teach apologetics and teach them deeply.
Mm.
And the other is to
explain apologetics for those
apologetics
who don't know.
Is the study of why what you believe is true.
Yes.
What are the reasonable, factual, the evidences for the Christian faith. And when you look at the actual evidences for Christian faith, it's difficult to refute them.
Yeah.
It's not a hard proof like a geometric proof, but it is evidentiary
that
our faith is reasonable and logical. And the other thing is to teach them that faith is not something that's done on Sunday for an hour.
Yeah,
faith
that's what I think they see at too many churches. They go in, everybody says the thing, they plot, and then they wind out and flip each other off and cut each other off and, doesn't carry out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's always a struggle, even with these kids that are in my school right now. I always tell them it's so much bigger than getting a business degree. It's beautiful that you can get a bachelor's degree in 2 years and 8 months, but
which is the name of the school? Plug the school here.
Oak Valley College. Okay. Santa Ana.
With
and
no
Rialto.
Debt.
With no debt.
Pretty phenomenal story in and of itself.
But it's so much bigger than that. And that's the purpose of this show. When I think about it, and the reason what was in my heart behind this is I've met so many people in Orange County. And there's I can't remember, was it Paul, when he went into this town, and there's so many people that are already here.
Oh, you're not talking about me, Paul. You're
not
talking
you,
about
Paul.
The other
I'm
guy.
I'm talking about the Bible, Paul, the one that wrote half of the New Testament. But the idea is that when I came to this city, I spent 10 years in sales in my car driving for 10 years and not seeing anybody, going into a store, writing an order, and then coming to this town and meeting all these people, and I see so many people that believe. But it's really a beautiful thing. You get a chance to see that. I had so many misconceptions about Orange County. I'm thinking, everybody's driving BMWs.
And everybody's, you're saying a counter narrative to the one I hear all the time. Orange County is, we all drive into our house, we lock the door, and we have fences around each other.
Right.
And we don't talk to our neighbors or know our neighbors. And
yeah.
I have that a little bit, I'm sorry to say.
But the point I'm trying to make, too, is since I've been here, I've seen just the complete opposite.
Yeah, that's
of
what you
that.
Keep talking about.
And people are so loving and accepting, and man, it's just a beautiful thing. I feel like, I'm like, God, I feel like I've missed out on so much. And this is the time when you're supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And so I know we need to get back to defining get together. So when we think about defining get together, that's the whole purpose for me, is how can we, us, the people in not only Orange County, but all over, come together and figure out, first of all, what is good,
right?
And how do we get back to that as far as all these things that are happening in the world.
And how do we do it together? We're more divided than we ever have been.
Yeah, it's just ugly. It's such an ugly world.
A million ways to divide each other, which is why I think people break into their own little echo chambers, their own little world. I have my family, my friends, and I don't want to hear about anybody else.
Yeah.
All right, so what's good?
So,
are you going to ask them here?
How do you guys define good?
Defining good in like life, business, and community?
Anyway.
You define good how you want it.
So, for me, in life, it would be increasing my faith or growing in my faith. It would also be being a good husband and being a good father.
Absolutely.
And grandfather.
And grandfather now.
Grandfather.
And in business, for me, it's I see a lot of young people come out of college. They're starting their career, so it's helping them to succeed in their career, whether it's in public accounting or whether they go to private industry.
Yeah.
And then clients, I work primarily with nonprofits, so I'm helping nonprofits and make their financial statements correct so that they can go out and do fundraising.
Yeah.
And then in the community, I think it's you have to give back. And so for me, giving back is working with, I work with three nonprofits, Santa Ana Chamber of Commerce, I'm on the board, and also for the Passkeys Foundation, I'm on the board. And Sandra and I are in the advisory council for the Olive Crest Strong Families.
Yeah.
And Strong Families to us, we've been on it 15 years, we have a passion for it. It's helping families that are in need. So a family's in crisis, and maybe they lost their home and they're living in their car and they need some place for their children to go. So we have host families and churches that can take their children till their crisis is solved or improved, and then hand them back. And then sometimes these host families stay in contact with the family that was in need for long periods. And the host family could have a child for one day or 6 months.
Love it. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. How about you?
So I thought in much more general terms. I thought in terms of doing good is two things: what you do and how you do it. As far as what you do, doing good means you've been given specific abilities and talents and gifts and resources, but also limitations.
Yeah.
You've been given a specific time and a place that you've been placed. And I know for a long time the fad was the WWJD bracelets.
What would Jesus do?
Right. You know me, I can't take anything as it comes. I have to modify it a little bit. I would say, what would Jesus have you do? When you have these specific sets of gifts and abilities that are unique to you, mm-hmm. and you have a unique sphere of influence, how would God have you use what he's given you to the service of others?
Wow.
And then as far as how you do it, the verse that lives on my office wall is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, it heartily to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
Wow.
Sadly, it's in a different translation, but it's basically that, because I memorized the King James, or New King James.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
One thing that's really interesting about the show is no two people have given the same answer.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Some people do talk about it, and he's the accountant, so he had to break it into categories here. Most people just pick one, and they say, I'm good to my family, or I'm good to my customers, or I'm good to the bottom line of my company here, or I'm good to my community, or whatever. It's That's part of the problem with the
I
word.
I think all three areas are important.
Absolutely.
And you can't just say one area. If you say business, then you're leaving out how are you doing good in your life.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk ahead of time, or maybe I would have gone more general. But,
but it's nice we've got him.
No right or wrong answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my goal, guys, with this is to put these interviews in a book in a year from now.
Oh, my.
And promote it, because I want to encourage people, not only in Orange County, but everywhere, to adopt this idea. But it's the idea of getting, like I read the book Good to Great. I'm sure everybody talks a lot
Jim
about
Collins,
this
book. Good
I've never
to
read
great.
It, though.
Everybody talks about that book.
Yeah, it? And it's just this idea of how do we get... The show is called Defining Good Together, but how do we take the show, the premise of the show, and make it great? Again, this is all I know so far as my public life, in a sense, of going to events and speaking and shaking hands and giving out cards and having coffee with people. And I want to take what Orange County has, and I want to spread it everywhere, because I really think it's a beautiful thing. I really
do. You're pretty positive on Orange County here.
I am, and I don't. You are. But
you're
again,
not from here.
I come from an environment where, again, I spent 10 years in my car. And I work for 7-Up, the soda company, and I just drove around with an iPad. I wrote orders. I negotiated sales all day, and that's what I did.
Which is a good brand.
Which is a great company.
A good product.
No, it's a great company. It paid my bills for 10 years. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful thing. And then I worked in retail before that, and I was a human resource director. I've done all these different things, but no job has allowed me to really live out my gifts, I think. Mm. And I took this strength test.
Strengths Finder. Yes.
And it was crazy. I was telling my wife about this morning, and it really defined what I already feel like God had already shown me what my gifts were.
Yeah.
Which are?
And I knew you were going to ask me.
Which are? You can throw it out and we know what your gifts are.
So one is visionary.
I can see
it was a futurist is what it's called. Includer, was another one.
I get Includer loud and clear. You're always trying to bring people together. The show, you bring people together. You had to put the word together in the title of the show.
There you go. And Communication, I think, was one. And, I can't remember. But Futurist, Communicator, Includer. I can't remember the other two. But it'll come to me before the show's over. But, when I was telling my wife about it this morning, I feel like it was confirmation for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a surprise. And then I was talking to my CEO, and he's, you've got really unique gifts. And I still don't know, what am I supposed to do with these gifts? And I'm like, let's see what God wants to do with these gifts.
So how do you get kids to find their gifts? How do you get employees to find their gifts? How do you get your community, your neighbors to find their gifts? Is that part about doing good, to get people to see what they do? What do you think of that?
Yeah.
To expand on a little bit of what William was saying, Orange County to me is very different, because here you've got, I think it's 9,000 nonprofits.
Yes, and we just talked about it the other day.
They're out there helping people, having missions, serving people in our community, which I think is more than where I grew up.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing for Orange County.
Where did you grow up?
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work to be done. I always think about, the Bible says, let your light shine, right, before men. And I try to live that. I want people to say, hey, I want to get to know that guy. There's something different about him.
Yes.
And that's what I see about you two. I say that, but I really see that with you two. Every time I walk in a room and you two are there, Sandra's, come here. I want you to meet this guy. I want you to meet this person. I want you to meet this person. And you guys are so faithful to want to see somebody succeed. And I think it's just a beautiful thing.
How,
I really do.
How broad is good? In other words, I hear people saying, good is within me. I got to be good. Or... can you keep the light under a bushel, or whatever the saying is? You have to. Is Ooh. Good meaning you have to share it?
Ooh.
So here's my theory.
Okay.
And the pastor can tell me if I'm off base.
He's on the other line right now.
He's a pastor. The pastor of my church, I hope, never hears this. If I'm wrong. If I'm right, I hope he hears it. But I truly believe that part of the essence of living a Christian life is getting to the part where you truly love biblically. And loving biblically is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Mm. It means putting the needs of someone else ahead of your own.
Yes.
And when people say, what would Jesus do? In essence, that's exactly what he did.
Mm.
And he put the needs of us ahead of his own.
Yes.
No greater love has any man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends.
Yes.
So, if you are to truly love biblically, it means tearing down all of the walls that separate your interest from mine.
Right.
And realizing we are all made in the image and likeness of God, the Imago Dei. And therefore, I am called to love and respect you with the same passion and grace that God has shown me.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah.
Can I just interject a thought here again?
Go ahead.
I can't seem to stop here today. Which is, I would argue you just gave the definition for long marriage, putting others ahead of yourself.
Mm.
My husband may argue I don't always practice what I preach.
But it's hard to, I've heard this, I didn't make this up, other people say that's the definition of love, when you care more about, you put somebody else's, your kids, your loved ones.
I was about to say, that's also what makes a good parent.
Right. Absolutely,
I'm watching that with my daughter-in-law right now.
I love it.
I think it's also you grow together as you, the longer you're together, you grow together.
Yeah.
And I look at Sandra and I think she's a blessing.
Yeah.
And
I love
that's
that.
How I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I never have to order anymore. I go somewhere. We went for coffee this morning, my wife and I. We get to this place and she's, sit down, I got it. And she knows exactly what I want. I don't even have to think about it.
Wow.
It's like, she already knows. And I'm like, this is beautiful.
Two become one here, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just beautiful.
One of the most interesting chapters in our marriage was when our son went off to college, because we had always been three. And now all of a sudden we were back to two.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you hear about the empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
And it was really startling, I think. And
one of the largest percentages of divorces
right
happen
then.
At that point.
And I remember at that time we invited our pastor and his wife over for lunch, and they're great friends, wonderful people, not just a pastor to us. And Frank walked in our house, and it was just, I think it was just him and me. I think Cinder, I don't remember if she was with him or not, but I remember him looking at me, Gary wasn't there yet, and he goes, so how are things going? And I'm like, fine. So how's everything here without Garrison? And I'm like, okay. And it was, I think he was afraid we were calling him over because we were having trouble.
Oh, okay.
And I said, it's startling and it feels like someone cut off your leg. Because part of what made us a whole was now gone.
Yeah.
But then you look at this man and you remember, I fell in love with him for a reason.
Yeah.
And all of those reasons are exponentially more powerful now.
Yeah.
As we have spent years together, I have seen his not only pledged faithfulness, but lived faithfulness and his love and his sacrificial love for me and for our son.
Yeah, yeah.
And even the dog.
That's beautiful. Gosh,
yeah.
I love that.
You brought up another point here, so I'm going to challenge you. This is doing good just something that you do, or does doing good something that you have to live? To go switch to companies. Companies all say, we love our employees, we love our customers, we value the people, and then they lay everybody off. They don't always walk the talk. Is it something you just can say and spout? Is it something you had, because you said he didn't just say it, he lived it, he did it, he proved it.
There's an equivocation in the English language on the word love, that there are so many more Greek words for love, and there are so many nuances to the word. You can say, I love a cheeseburger, I love my husband.
Yes.
I do not think those two mean the same thing.
I hope not.
Right.
Unless you really love cheese. Right.
Unless it's In-N-Out.
Yeah. I like In-N-Out as well. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So I got two questions. So when you're not working with numbers, Gary, how do you recharge? What's your way of downloading for the day and all those things?
I don't say we work with numbers, which we do, but we also work with people. I work with the staff. I work with management, the board. For me, it's coming home and being with Sandra, and we do a lot of things together.
Yeah.
My hobbies are cars. I do archery. And now we have our son in Thousand Oaks, and we spend time with them.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just being us together. It can be something as simple as being home watching a TV show.
Yeah, love that.
Do archery? You're the first person in 15 years that's ever walked in and said they do archery. You Robin Hood?
I wish I was Robin Hood.
Shoot apples off people's heads?
I shall not put an apple in my head.
Are you that good?
No. My son and I actually started archery when he was very young at our church. And he went on to USC to join the archery club there.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
So he got much better than me. I love archery. It's kind of almost like golf. You're outside. It's beautiful. You're out in the sun.
Yeah.
It's like golf. It's a nice experience.
Nice. Okay. All right. And for you, Sandra, what's something people would be surprised to learn about you outside of work?
I think people that know me at work well aren't surprised by anything, but for people that just meet me just in a professional setting, probably that I took off a number of years to stay home, and I homeschooled our son from first grade through senior year of high school.
Nice. I love that.
And that was just a fantastic experience for all of us. It made us much closer. I realize not everybody is blessed to be able to have that situation, but I had a husband that was supportive and provided for us to be able to do that, and it was probably the biggest blessing of my life. And I think a lot of times women, they talk about women having it all. And I think you can have it all, just not all at the same time. So I had a professional career in public accounting. I was with three really large firms. And then took off all of those years. And then nonprofits have always been my love, which is why I now am a nonprofit.
Wow.
So when we moved here, we bought a house in Irvine because they had a great school system. Then when our son was born, Sandra looks at me and says, I want to homeschool you. And I looked at her and said, exactly what is that?
Because this was a long time ago. It was not nearly as common then.
There's a ton of studies that say the kids that are homeschooled, they're more adjusted, they do better in college, and a number of things. So it's not a bad thing.
Fun thing is our daughter-in-law was also homeschooled. Yeah. And homeschooled with largely the same curriculum we used, and she grew up in Michigan.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
So how do you define good in a community then? Because you guys have got a real clear picture about, it sounds like you have a good marriage, you have a good life, and you get good kids. Not everybody does.
Right.
So how do we spread the good? How do you Does everybody have the same definition in Orange County of what good means? We all look at each other and say, that's good. Or do we all have differing opinions about what's good? How do you live? How do you work? How do you do anything? I don't know. And then so how do we, if we don't, how do we craft that message together? I think that's one of the hopes of the show, is coming up with some common definitions or strategies to bring everybody together in this. Yeah. A good train. You guys are on the good train. How do we get everybody else on the good train?
Yeah, that's definitely work and time. But I see it happening. I see everybody that I've come in contact with, and I'm sure it's not like that everywhere in Orange County and L.A. and everywhere else, but there's certain people that you always see together and working together and help each other and give advice and all these things. And so if there's a way of spreading that out, again, I talk about certain things, moving it to L.A. and starting to build the same type of environment and closeness there, or in just different cities. Because where I was raised, I saw none of that. It was more of, this is my house, this is my neighborhood, and you're walking around in your neighborhood and you're just ducking because there's so much going on. But then you come over here, and it's just a whole different world. How do you spread this gift? To me, it's a gift. How do you take these gifts and spread them throughout California, the United States, everywhere? You know what I'm saying? My vision is too big. I know. God's, you can't save everybody. But, man, that's my hope, is that we save as many as we can. Go into the world. Make disciples of all nations. That's what the Bible talks about at the end of Matthew. And, God, man, it's just...
So do you just go out and do good and hope that others pick up on that?
You remember that old shampoo commercial from the 70s? Maybe you're not old enough to remember the old shampoo.
I'm pretty old, yeah.
You tell two people, and they'll tell two people, and so on, and so on.
Yeah.
And so it may not be... you may not have to reach 10 million people, but the people that you reach can reach others. And I've always thought to myself that probably the most powerful person in the history of American Christendom was not Billy Graham. Mm. It was whoever preached the gospel to Billy Graham.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah.
And you know, that person may not, I don't remember the story. Yeah. I knew it at one point, I read the book, but if that person may have died never knowing what an impact they had. And, you know, when we did 2 or 3 year olds in Sunday school for 13 years. And I remember thinking every Sunday when, oh gosh, do I have the energy to do this again?
Yeah.
One of these kids, you never know what you're building into this child that God could use to change the world.
I love that. Absolutely. No, I agree with that. That's good. That's beautiful. Yeah, I used to be a high school teacher back in 2009, and I had a kid in my class that was he was so wild, and I would try to read the Bible to them in class, because I taught at a Christian school. He didn't want any part of it. And I'm connected to him on Facebook, and I see him now. He's a pastor. And I'm like, how are you a pastor? This guy's a pastor. He has
something
kids.
Took hold.
Yeah,
something
I just thought, hold. What?
You planted the seed.
Amen.
And
it's
it grew.
This guy's a pastor of a church, and he's the senior pastor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he just got, I guess, the senior pastor retired, and he's the guy now.
That has to be so fulfilling.
Man.
He's like spiritual children.
Yeah.
My dad always used to say, nothing will bring you more joy than to watch your children succeed.
Yeah.
This is your spiritual child succeeding in the most important way.
Gosh, amazing. If you'd have met this kid back in high school, I was like, there's no way. This guy's, and he sends me stuff now. He's, I got a prayer for you. I got this for you. And I'm like, man, who are you? But he's 30 years old today, and he's a senior pastor of a church.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else we got, Paul?
I'm just amazed. These two sound like they've got a good life and a good marriage and have figured out good together. I'm trying to bottle it, sell it on the side here on the weekends.
It helps to have a great man leading.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that. Wow, okay. Love that.
Having a godly woman is a blessing.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Beautiful.
Any thoughts then? So you go out into the community, we do a lot with charities. Why do you work with all non-charities? I always wonder where that comes from, because not everybody has that experience of working with non-charities. People seem to do that later in life. They give back. But I'm younger, I'm busy with my kids. I'm busy with my business. I don't have time to do these things. I don't know what to do. Sounds like you guys...
We've always worked with them and...
Part of public accounting is I've worked with nonprofits my whole career.
Mm-hmm. I want to know why.
They were clients, number one.
But I mean, did you seek that niche, or did you just fall into it?
Well, I did when CLA acquired a firm, White Nelson D. Levins, here in Orange County, and they asked, what industry do you want to go in? I said, nonprofit, because I've always had a passion for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed working with them. Their motive is not how much money do I make or how much cash can I take out. Their motive is a mission.
Right.
So I've always enjoyed working with them.
Right. Yeah. My first nonprofit client was back in 1986, and it was 6 years after my dad's open heart surgery. And it was a hospital in the area, and it was the hospital that did his, it wasn't the one that did his open heart, but it had done a lot of other work for him. And I thought, I can't cure somebody else's dad, but I can put the resources in the hands of the people who can.
Yeah.
So my joke is always that there's the body of Christ. I'm not the hands, because the hands are the ones on the front line. I'm the elbow. The elbow is the one that gets the hands where they need to be to do what they need to do.
I thought it was also because the elbow is what nudges you along once in a while.
I'm just support. I am support. That's it.
Okay, I got one more question, then we can...
Okay.
One more question. So what would you tell somebody, a young person, that want to do what you guys are doing? Would you recommend that, or what direction would you point someone, some young mentee, someone that you guys are bringing up?
You want to take that first?
Sure. I always suggest to people, unless they have a passion for, I don't know, another history or another subject, I always suggest that you go into business, you get a business degree, you learn about business, and that you can take into all kinds of industries, if you're banking or finance or whatever. And I think that gives you a good skill set to go.
Yeah.
So I encourage that. I encourage them to, even if you're going into an attorney, to try to become a CPA, and then there's a lot of avenues open to you.
Nice. Yeah.
He's a lot, as usual, much more pragmatic than I am.
Pretty straightforward.
We did, our church did the Experiencing God study three different times for 30 years. And one of the phrases in there is, look for where God's working and join him. And I hear people all the time say, I'm going to start this nonprofit that does this. And I'm going to start. And when I was coming back into the workforce, a lot of my friends said, why don't you start a nonprofit? And my answer was, why would I do that?
Yeah.
There are so many fabulous ones out there doing incredible work successfully.
Yes, true.
Without the startup ramp time. So find where people are doing good.
Yeah.
Join them.
And that goes back to the together that's in the title of this show.
Yeah.
I always wonder, is it enough just to do good yourself? So I'm going to start a nonprofit. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to start a family. I'm going to do this, and I'll plant the seed, and hopefully people will see it and follow.
Yeah.
Or does somehow you have to join a church, a community, a corporation, a nonprofit, whatever, a neighborhood?
Yeah.
Is it the act of joining, or is it in doing it together? You're the one put together in this. I always just thought, I just wonder what people are doing good.
We were made to be pack animals. This is not a solo sport.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I really like what you said about getting involved in, because like you said, there's 9,000 nonprofits, right?
Yeah.
In Orange County, there's so much that you can get involved in. And I see people, some people are on like 10 boards. I'm like, how do you spread yourself to 10 boards? I have people calling me saying, hey, I want you to think about getting on my board. And I'm like, I don't have time, man. I thank you, but I've joined a few, but it's like, I'll talk to my CEO about it. And he's, William, do you really have time to get on three or four more boards? And I'm like, no, I don't. But
we have a lot of nonprofits coming in, not 9,000, but we probably talked to hundreds of them in 15 years. And I sometimes wonder, I'm not trying to be the negative naysayer here, if they wouldn't do better if they worked together rather than all separately splintered. I've got my thing, I got my group, I got my donors, I got my plan, and whether it's homelessness or somehow if they tackled these things together, I wonder if they wouldn't get more accomplished.
There is a lot of siloing in the nonprofit field, and I usually suggest to them that if look at other nonprofits that are doing the same thing you're doing, because you can cut down on your cost, you can cut down on just be more efficient and probably have more money to serve the people you're trying to get to.
Yeah, great idea.
But there's a lot of siloing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I would love to see more of that. So that's it.
All right. So what's the one definition of still? What's good? One word. What's or a sentence? What's good? What if we're all going to come up with a definition together today for what is good? I don't care what good life, good faith, good family, good business. What is good?
I think to me it's doing God's will in my life.
Okay.
Now, being is, yeah.
That's not a one word, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty clear.
And I'd have said being as Christ-like as you possibly can in every situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Can't be any clearer than that. Why did we have to have this show? We should have just called them in. We're trying to define good. Yeah, they got it done.
Yeah, we could have did this 3 months ago, right? It's the right time. They came in at the right time.
That's it. All right, so how do they reach everybody if they want to know more about what you do or join what you do or hear what you do?
Us?
Yeah. Because you're doing it together, you're involved, you're out there. They want to join the chamber, they want to have conversations, they want to take you to coffee, they want to bring you into something they're doing here.
So I'm accessible on LinkedIn and at the greaterirvinechamber.com website. That's probably the two easiest ways to grab me.
Okay.
I would say the same thing, LinkedIn, but since I'm transitioning from CLA, I would have said contact me at CLA, but I'm transitioning away.
Yeah.
Until I make that transition, LinkedIn is the best place.
Okay.
Yeah, about the same for me, LinkedIn as well, and Oak Valley College. You can go to oakvalley.edu and find me through that as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us today here. You had the most clear-cut definition of good we've had so far. Everybody else is kind of wandering around, feeling their way through it. It was pretty clear-cut here. All right. Thanks for joining us here today on as we work together to try and define good. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.